will be verses 6 through 11. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God.
You know, I didn't expect to get emotional there talking about. And it's not far away. You know, at the close of last week's message, I gave you all homework. Maybe you don't remember. I don't know if you did it. The professor in me wants to say how homework is due. And I know the student and all of you are saying, what homework? Dog ate it. That's right. Thanks, Kerwin. No, the assignment for those who chose to accept it was this, to work Psalm 23:1, that opening verse, that stanza of that prayer, into your day-to-day prayer and into your day-to-day life. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Don't worry. If you didn't complete your assignment, you got this week. We'll extend the due date. But weaving that prayer into the core, not only of our prayer time, but weaving that prayer into the core of our very being, that the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I have all that I need, was an important piece we wanted to begin to lay as a foundation for the rest of the day that we would live, the rest of the week that we were walking through. To recognize that God is our provider, that his provision does not leave us lacking. Which is always our fear, isn't it? We are always tormented, haunted by that fear that we're not going to have enough. Yes, God is my provider, but can I really trust him? Is always the trickiest part of our heart in our walk with God. There's a reason why giving, money, things like that, you think, what are those things doing in the Bible? But they are in the Bible for a reason, because it is part of what God is trying to do in us, for us, when it comes to this idea of how it is we trust him. You can see the title of the sermon today is called Hilarious Giving, and I didn't do this just because Brad Stein is coming, Bobby. It is funny how it works that way, isn't it? God is good. That's hilarious. The joy of giving. And probably many of you already saw that and thought, well, that is hilarious, because I don't find any joy in giving. Giving is a hard thing for us, but it's not a joke. This is true. Because as we give, as we act, as we work out what we believe. You may have heard this before. Talk is cheap. What really matters is actions. And giving, how we give, reflects truly what we believe. This action is what reveals what we believe about God as our provider. How we give reveals how we truly trust him, no matter what our words may say. How we give reveals something of our commitment to be obedient to his call and to rest in his goodness and the goodness for our good, because actions do speak louder than words. There's lots of ways people give when we're talking today specifically about our finances. I'm not going to get into all the various ways that people can give other ways, because there are many. But financially, we give lots of different ways, whether you put money in the plate or write a check to the church and drop it in the mail, whether you want to use the Tithely app, and yes, it is open and we can buy your ticket there, so good deal. But it really comes down to the work in our heart, the attitude with which we give. That's what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians 9, that it comes down to this attitude that we give with, because that is the key, not the giving itself, but the attitude of our heart with which we give. So the two go hand in hand, becomes the key to this happier, healthier place that God desires that you and I would find ourselves, especially as we move into a new year. What kind of attitude do we give with? You know, is it out of a sense of duty, that it's just something I feel like I've got to do? Is it something that we do out of guilt? You know, if I don't do it, then I'm letting somebody down. Is it something that we do out of a sense of superstition or fear? If I don't do it, then God will be angry, and then God will get me for it, you know? Or is it a kind of a legalistic thing that I'm going to do this, and by doing this, somehow I'm going to earn God's good graces, God's favor? If it's any of those attitudes with which we give, I'm going to invite you to stop giving. Because those are all dead ends. God honestly doesn't need your money. He's got plenty. But the giving that God is inviting you to do is not for him. This is the key. It's for you. Because there is something in the giving when our attitude is in line, when it is an outflow of our faith, when it's an outflow of our thanks, when it's an outflow of our cry of dependence upon God, that sets us free. And it's out of that freedom that we can become cheerful givers. Now, there's something really important about this. Intentionally, a way of recognizing God's role in my life, and I tangibly then represent that by the way that I present my tithes and offerings to the church that I'm a part of. I love in 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm going to just start this off here. Paul begins with this word picture, doesn't he, of a farmer, sowing, reaping. Most of us are not farmers, but I imagine that you can figure this out. If you were a farmer, or can you imagine a farmer who complains about the seed he has to put out? He goes out to plant his crop, and he says, oh, man, I've got to plant. You know, I'm not going to plant very much, actually, because it's too hard. It's too much. So the word picture has to do with this farmer who can choose to either put out a little seed and get a little crop, or someone who's willing to throw out a lot of seed. For what? For a great harvest. And he says that's kind of how it is. Kind of how it is for us in our relationship with God. Not that we give a little bit of money so we get a whole lot of money back. That's not the question. Money is the key here for us, because we live in a society where money is the key. It's not about crops. It's not about our produce. It's not about how many cattle we have and what our tithe of the cattle will be. It's our money. But it's an unlocking something far deeper in us that he intends to unlock. Okay, so in that verse, following the reaping and sowing part, he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly. Okay, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. I love that. And I want to just say, you know, I hope this will begin to change how we feel when the plate comes by. I remember my friend Mike Mosley. Maybe some of you remember Mike. He was a missionary who came and spoke to us a few years back. He had spent most of his adult life in West Africa, in Ghana. And he said one of the traditions in the Ghanaian church, when they have their offering time, he always thought us Americans were kind of lame, because we pass a plate and everyone gets the plate and they pass it on. Maybe they drop something in, maybe they don't. They don't make eye contact with anybody. And it's kind of a drag. Sorry, ushers, but it's kind of a drag. Mike said in Ghana, what they do when they have their time of offering, they have a single plate. They put it right here in the middle, and they start the music, and everybody gets up. Everybody begins to dance. And in the dance, they begin to walk down, and they come down the aisle with their offering, whether it be large or small, whatever they have that day, they are bringing it that day, because it is part not of a extracting something that we hold so dearly, but it is part of an expression of their thanks that they have the opportunity to come and to share what God has given to them, to give back a portion of the whole of which God has given to them, recognizing that it's not me giving God some of my money, but it's that God has given me all I have, and I am giving back to him a portion as an offering, as a thanks, as a way of expressing it's not mine, it's his. And really, that's representative of our whole life. It's not mine, it's his. And the money becomes part of that whole. God loves a cheerful giver. I love that phrase. And I know I don't do this often, and when I do, it goes over a lot of people's heads. When we talk about the Greek out of which this book comes, the Bible, you know, it says God loves a cheerful giver. The word for cheerful in the Greek, it's a word, if we transliterate it into hilarion. Hilarion. And that's how you spell it in Greek. But if you don't read Greek, don't worry about it. What words do you imagine come out of the word hilarion, roots in our English? Hilarious. Hilarity. Man, can you imagine if we were passing the plates, Tim, and people were going, woohoo! This is so great! Yeah! Do a dance, man, have a laugh. It's like, this is great, I get to do this. Hilarion means cheerful, of course, joyous, merry. Not grudging. Those would be the definitions. If you were looking at the Greek, trying to make it into an English, put it in the context, it makes sense. That's what it means. And so what Paul was saying is that we should find giving hilarious. We should find it just great hilarity in the midst of our giving, because there is something so good it just bubbles up within us. That's the challenge. Now, again, sometimes it says that we need to give not grudgingly. We need to become a hilarious giver. We need to give what we have decided to give, not under impulse, but to give out of the generosity of our heart. So how much do we give? How much giving is going to cause hilarity? Man, I don't know if I wanted to go to that answer. That may be a little too much. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a level that we began with, and it was called the tithe. Maybe you've heard of this. And this is the idea that God had given to his people, that it would be a one-tenth of their produce. Whatever God allowed them to produce, one-tenth would be part of their offering then back to God. Again, not because God needed it, but because it was part of their expression of thanks for what God had given them. In the book of Malachi, it says this. It says that we are to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and that there would be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there is not room enough to store it. You know, this is the challenge for all of us. When we talk about something that becomes almost, feels almost arbitrary to us, this idea of the tithe. But it's not arbitrary at all. It is a way of a significant portion of what we have been given that we set aside for his purposes, and then we recognize that God has given all the rest for us to live our lives with. You know, it's about a tangible expression of our faith in God. Just like in the Sabbath, as the Old Testament also gives us rules about Sabbath. That was to have a day that was to recognize that life is more than work. Don't work all 7 days, work six, and set one apart as Sabbath. Why? Because, not because Well, not just because you need it, but because it becomes a faith statement that I'm signaling that I'm trusting God with my life. I will not work on that seventh day, trusting that God will provide for me. Is that easy to do? Sometimes it's very hard to do. But it's a faith statement. That's what the Sabbath was built for, to teach us to have faith. The tithe is in a similar way. It is a portion of what we produce, a tenth, that we acknowledge that all of it belongs to God. But by this act of thankful dependence, this faith statement that my life will work just fine if I honor God with this portion, because God is my provider and will care for me. It is a difficult thing for us to put this faith statement, this faith into action sometimes, but that's what God invites us to. And this becomes then the goal. You know, I'm going to give you a little wiggle room. If maybe giving intentionally has not been a part of your habit in the past, and maybe that seems like a goal too far, I can't get there, then start somewhere slower. Start at 2%, start at 5%, start at 8%. Say, I can do this, and maybe in steps you can grow and you can see that God remains faithful. And as you see his faithfulness, maybe your faith can continue to grow. Or maybe you're ready for that step and say, I'm going to give 10%. I haven't. I've been walking with Jesus for a while, but I've not been giving in the way that I know the Bible invites me to. And it's not because God needs it, but he knows that we need it. And as we express that, it becomes part of our, it's a statement of faith. It is matching up with what God has more for us. And we believe it, we act on it, and it deepens our faith. Okay, the last piece there. Notice this. He says, test me. This is the only time that we are told to test God. But test him in this. See that he is not going to do what he says. If we trust him with this portion, he is going to provide for us. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such blessing that there is not enough room for it. See if it doesn't begin to work, that we begin to feel that sense of freedom, that finances don't now strangle us, but because we're honoring God with our finances and doing so in a way that gives God the glory, that God provides for us in a way that we don't get strangled. Because God is our provider, not me, myself. Okay, little side note. In which position do you think you would be better taken care of? Recognizing that the God of the universe is your provider and takes care of you? Or choosing to say, no thanks, God, I can take care of myself? Because when we say, I trust God, but I'm going to only provide for myself with my own finances, my own resources, we're saying I'm choosing myself as my provider. And I suggest to you that we're better off choosing God as our provider. So each time we give, it becomes a celebration of God as my provider. Because of him, I will have enough. And that is a foundational bit that we need to hold on and keep in place. The floodgates will be opened up. Notice that even in Corinthians, as Paul wraps around in his thinking about this cheerful giver aspect, he comes back to the same thing that Malachi said in the Old Testament, that you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This becomes the result of your giving. The result of your giving will not be your poverty. The result of your giving will not be your dismay. The result of your giving, when we give with this attitude, becomes thanksgiving to God, because God provides enriching in every way the life that we are leading. This becomes a critical piece of what it means for us to walk in this obedience to God. It's one thing for us to read our Bible and study in our Bible. It's another thing for us to pray for ourselves and for others around us. It's another thing for us to do acts of service and kindness to those that we come in contact with. But it's another to say, how is it that I order my life? And it's represented primarily here by the way that we say, truly say, God is the one whom I trust. And I will live my life trusting in him. Our faith grows stronger and stronger as we continue to give, both when it's easy and especially when it's hard. Not to be legalistic, not to tie ourselves into a spot, but to give room for God to show himself to be faithful. And maybe next week we'll dance when the offering time comes. Father, I thank you that you have given us not just a bill to be paid, but a path to greater freedom, to greater celebration, to greater fullness, and to a greater sense of fulfillment in this life through this simple, easy to say, hard to do act of trusting and giving. So Father, enable us as we begin to live this out, as we begin to match up our words with our actions, as we begin to match up our faith with our deep-held trust that you will care for us. Father, I thank you for what you are about to do in each individual life here as we make a new commitment, even today, to trust you more, as well as to trust you more with our finances. Father, as a church body, we thank you for all those who continue to give for all the very many reasons. And God, but I pray especially for us today that we would begin to learn this new path of giving out of a thankful heart, giving with a cheerful spirit, giving with an opportunity to make our giving an act of our worship, thanking you and relying on you in ways maybe we haven't before. For all those who've learned the patterns of grudgingly or out of duty or out of a sense of thinking that this is their way of earning, Father, I pray, I thank you for those gifts, but God, I pray for a change in heart that we would come to see your goodness baked in to this simple act of our giving. So God, we thank you for it. And we ask that you would move this morning in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.